I want you to do me a favor and just bow your head for just a second. I'm going to do something a little bit different in the service this morning. And I want you just to think for just a minute. There's people in this room of all ages. And dare say, everyone in here probably made a profession of faith, invited Jesus into their heart at a certain age. Whether it was 7 or 17 or 24 or 32 or 55 or 73 or 81, you made a profession, and I want you with your head bowed and your eyes closed for just a minute. I want you to go back in time to that moment when you accepted Christ, to that moment when someone shared the gospel, showed you the Word of God, or you heard that song on the radio, or you bowed your head by yourself and you asked Christ to change your life. I want you just to go to that moment and just dwell there for just a second, if you will. In silence, just dwell there for just a second and listen to my voice. When Christ came into your life and forgave you of your sins, do you remember how you had goosebumps on your body? Do you remember how there was a spiritual release of pressure, of sin and darkness, of past mistakes that were wrapped up and cast off as far as the east is to the west? Do you remember what God freed you from? Do you remember how thankful you were that a loving, gracious, heavenly Father cared enough about you to offer you this free gift? That free gift came down from the Father of lights and gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. Can you remember that? Now I want you to open your eyes and look here. That song we sang earlier, I want to read you the verses from In My Heart There Rings a Melody. Let me just go to the first part of the first verse. It says, I have a song that Jesus gave me. You remember what you just did right there, going back to when you first got saved. You remember you had a new song that Jesus just gave you. The old was out. The new was in. There was a new you. You were excited. You would go anywhere and do anything and tell anyone about the good news of what Jesus Christ did for you. Do you remember that? You used to smile all the time. Now we walk around like a fish sucking a lemon. Amen? But we used to smile all the time. Do you know what? Nothing's changed. The same God that saved you then and freed you from that sin and took you from that hell should still give you goosebumps this morning in Cornerstone Baptist Church in Robinson, North Carolina. Ooh, Texas. Robinson, Texas. Maybe I need to loosen this up just a little, Jim. There you go. All right. But you know what I'm saying? God did that for you. He put a new song in your heart. Can I ask you something, church? Then why aren't we singing it?
True.
Why aren't we singing the new song? Yeah, I can remember jingles. You remember jingles all the time? We were playing a game last night, and Trish had to sing a jingle. I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. You remember that one? Now we're going way back. Remember that? I don't wish that, Jim. I don't know what's in that mystery meat they package here. You know, I don't know. But we remember jingles. Do you know why the world has jingles? Because they know it's going to get in your head, and you can't get it out. They say if you hear something about 17 times, it solidifies it. And you take it everywhere, and you hear it over and over and over. I have woke up in the middle of the night singing some dumb jingle in my mind. And I'm thinking, what in the, not Oscar Mayer winner, but I've been thinking, why is this going through my head in the middle of the night? God gave us a new song. Listen, before Christ and salvation, you had no hope. You had no hope. Think of all those people out there driving up and down that road. Think of where you're going to go eat lunch today. Think of where you're going to go to work tomorrow. And all the people that you see in a given day that have no hope. They don't know the Jesus you know. They don't know about the promises in His Word. You have so much hope this morning. If everything falls down around you, and it has for many people, cancer and disease and sickness and death and job loss and children and just some broken homes. And we go down the list. But yet one thing remains the same. Jesus Christ. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He gave you a song. He gave you a song. Remember when you were saved that time. He gave you a song. He gave you a song. It was yours. It was personal. He gave you that song. And you were a changed individual. And you still are today. You just forgot the melody. And the church is not singing the song it used to sing. It's lost its effectiveness because we are not doing our part as individuals like we used to. We're not as excited about that. We're here this morning, but did you cheer coming here the way you would go into a ball game or a race? No, you didn't do that. You didn't get in the car and go, "Woo, we're going to church." You didn't do that this morning. If you did, somebody would say, "Did Dad take his medicine last night?" You didn't do that. You drug out the car, "Honey, did you get the Bible? We got the Bible. We got to go over here to church today. Lord God, help us. I hope you can move me today, dear Lord." Oh my goodness, I don't know if a crane could move you with a spirit like that. Hey man, listen, Jesus saved you. Saved you from sin and hell.
Yes. Yes.
It is a real place. Not many preachers will preach about it anymore. Everybody on television, "Isn't God good? Let me tell you how good God is today." God is good.
Yes, He is.
He's more than just the happy stuff. There is a place He created for those who don't believe, and where the devil will go for all eternity. I can't wait to get him there. I hope I get one kick in on him on the way there. Amen? Anybody else mad at the devil this morning?
Amen.
Quit being mad at each other in the church. Be mad at the devil. You want to be mad at somebody? Understand the source of all these problems. Understand the source of all this craziness. Understand the source of everything you see on television. Understand the source of the wickedness in D.C. Understand the source of what messes everything up in your life. It is the devil. It is not Jesus Christ. It is the devil. It's not you. I didn't know Brother Dave was going to shout at us this morning. I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting at the devil.
Good.
If you're close to him, then I might be yelling in your direction. That's between you and him. Ladies, don't look at your husband. Some of you elbowing him. He's talking to you now, honey. Listen good, honey. He's getting you this morning. Don't do that. Marriage counseling right after church. Brother Jim will be in his office. Listen to Psalms chapter 40, verse number 3. Some of you said, "I didn't know we were going to have fun in church this morning." Amen. See, I get to come in and say all the things Jim can't say, and then I get to leave. Amen. That's the way it is. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it." Uh-oh. Many shall see it. If you lost your song, can't nobody see it. If you lost your song in your heart, when he saved you, nobody can see it. But he says, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." He put a new song in you. David said that. He put a new song in. He put a new song in your heart. He put a new one there. Thank God for that. Thank God that he put a new song in your heart. And that's what he says. "I have a new song that Jesus gave me." Don't lose the song that Jesus gave you. Don't lose it. Go back. Whatever happened when you came down here or wherever you were, when you knelt and found Jesus, if it was in your car, if you know the location of where it's at and it's close by, I would revisit it in my mind. I'd go to that place where I got saved. I would go and rehearse it over and over and over again. I was 7 years of age. I was in church. And after church every Sunday night, one of the founders of our church, he lived on a hill right near the church. And we would go to his house for popcorn and snacks afterwards. Yep. And I went forward in the service and I knew something wasn't right. When we went to his house, I grabbed him and I grabbed my dad. I said, "I think I need to be saved." They took me out on the front porch of that house. That house has been torn down since. But they took me to the front porch of that house and they showed me how to know Jesus as my Savior. When they tore the house down, I went there and I grabbed a brick from that front porch to take it home. In case I forgot of what Jesus did for me, I'd take that brick and hit myself in the head until I remember again. That's why I'm so hard-headed, Trish. I'm sorry, but that's where it come from. And you need to do that. We need to take ourselves back to where we got saved and remember that we have a new song. You might want to tell your heart and your face this morning that you got a new song. Amen. Take your fingers, do it like this. Put it up there, make that smile. Have a new song. Number two, watch this. Second verse in that song, "In my heart there rings a melody. I love the Christ who died on Calvary." Uh-oh. I'm going to offend somebody here, Brother Jim. I'm glad I won't be back till next year. You can fix it all between now and then or when Brother Dave comes. "I love the Christ who died on Calvary." Have you lost your love for the man who gave everything to you?
Everything.
Everything.
Yes.
I know people who've woke up blind. I know people who've woke up lame who didn't think they needed God. They were just trucking along in life. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. And then one day they woke up and something that they had taken for granted that God had given them no longer worked, no longer functioned. And all of a sudden, they didn't have a problem remembering when they got saved. They didn't have a problem remembering that song. It came back real quick in hurt, in trials, in tribulations. It took them right back to that moment, and then they began pleading again, God, help me, Lord, help me. Help me with my vision. Help me with my legs. Help me with my arms. And whatever it was, whatever the problem was, help us through this, Lord. Help us find a job, Lord. Help my son. Lord, help my daughter. Help my wife. Help my husband. We go through all these things, and we forget that there is a love, an everlasting love. He gave you an everlasting love.
Yes, He did.
You don't ever have to wonder where He's at. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
Well, Brother Dave, He hasn't done anything for me in a long, long time. Okay. Yeah. You woke up this morning.
Yeah, really.
You woke up. Mm-hmm. Legs might not be as good as they once were, but you still got them.
Yep.
Heart may not tick as fast as it used to, but it's still beating.
Yep.
Eyes might have to do this a couple of times. You know, I had to put mine in the other day, you know. I notice I got a lot of containers for body parts now. You know, when you go to bed at night, put my eyes over here, put your teeth over there, this in a cup, that in a cup, take your leg off your arm, and then you get ready for bed, you're like, ah, and you just fall asleep, you know. But God's still good, ain't He? He still takes care of us. He still provides for you. He brought you from hell and gave you heaven, and He put a new song in your heart. So can I ask you a question, church? Why'd you stop loving Him? Where's the love you used to have? Hey, can I tell you what happened to me? I was at this thing the other day, and I didn't realize I needed it. All of a sudden, this guy came up and talked to me, do you love Jesus? I thought, yeah, I love Jesus. And then he started talking to me, and I realized I was a sinner, and before I knew it, I was weeping. And all of a sudden, they told me and showed me how I could know Christ as Savior, and I got saved. And I'm so happy, I can't wait to tell. I want to tell you. Hey, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. And let me tell you at the store. Let me go over here and at the grocery store. Ma'am, can I tell you what happened to me? Oh, where's that at? It used to be there.
Yes.
But just a little bit, we begin to take all that love for God and we put the things of this world in the place where God's supposed to be. We love self. We love things. Things are not sinful, but they become sinful when they take the place of God.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing wrong. I got cars and horses and junk and all kind of stuff I love. You might have boats and houses and vacation homes. Great. Who gave you all that stuff? Who allowed you to have that stuff? God. But when you use it against Him and you use it for self, then it's evident that you're losing or saying or admitting that, hey, I don't have the love for God like I used to. Just maybe, I don't know, I'm not God, thank goodness. Because I'd probably go to a family reunion and go, I don't like you, and I don't like you, you know. That's why I'm not God. Or at a stoplight, you know, pull up at a stoplight, would you just go already, you know? Yeah. I'm not God. But you know what? I wonder sometimes, what happened to our love for Him? What happened for our love for Him? We can't find 3 minutes in a day, 5 minutes a day just to recognize. If you go over to Psalms 106 and 107, let me set the preface here of what happened. Children of Israel, the whole nation was in slavery down in Egypt.
Yes.
For years. They wanted out. God got them out of Egypt. They hadn't been out of Egypt no time at all. And they start murmuring and complaining.
Yes,
and the Bible uses this phrase, they went a whoring after other gods, looking for something to replace the one true love. And they said to themselves and outwardly, wish that we could be back in Egypt in bondage again. Because they did not like the promised land that God had given them. My goodness. And if you follow chapter 106 and 107 of Psalms, you'll see this phrase repeatedly. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. 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 Because see, guess what? If there's a song in your heart, you don't have a problem praising the Lord.
True.
If there's a love of Jesus that dwells there like it should, you don't have a problem praising the Lord. Even when you go through all these foot problems. Right. Even when you're septic and go through all that stuff and you're sitting in the hospital and you're wondering, God, what did I do to deserve this? It ain't got nothing to do that you deserved it. It's that God didn't see anybody else that He could put this burden on that could bear it but you and be an effective witness. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Then why do we complain?
Right.
I'm not talking to you, by the way. I know I'm here yelling and spitting on you, but I'm not talking to you. I brushed my teeth this morning. I have some breath spray in my pocket. You know what I'm talking about.
I love you, brother.
I love you. You know what I'm talking about. It is a love for God that has to be there in our heart. It has to be there.
Sure.
If it's not there, you need to go see a spiritual doctor and get it checked out. If things don't bother you, if you can turn on Hollywood and watch it 24/7 and it doesn't bother you, if you can be around somebody with a foul mouth and it doesn't bother you, if you can see the wickedness of this world and it doesn't bother you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Yes.
Because if you have a song in your heart and if you love God the way you say you love Him, you ought to want to see those things changed and you ought to want to tell people about Jesus. You ought to want to go and be an effective witness. You ought to want to go and lift them up. I'm not saying be out there, the crazy person on the street corner, making a fool of religion. That's not the person I'm talking about. But there's effective ways of ministering. What Kirk Cameron is doing is an effective way of ministering. It's battling against what the world is teaching, the wickedness. It's battling against it. If all of us just did our part on our doorstep, in our home, and in our neighborhood, we could fix the world. Well, we got neighbors that don't even know we're saved.
That's true. Yeah.
I wish God would strike His tree down. I hate that thing putting leaves over here in my property. My dad used to do a backyard Bible study on Monday nights in our neighborhood.
Neat.
He would set some chairs out in the driveway behind our house. We'd serve some refreshments and... He would teach a Bible lesson to 15, 20 teenagers that would drive over, walk over, ride their bikes, and come to the house. Three doors down was a man by the name of Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris had two children. Had a daughter, Christy, that was my sister's age. My sister's almost three years older than me. And then he had a son, Randy, who was my age. Randy and I would play and get into all kind of trouble and ride bikes all over. You know, back then, we ride our bikes 8 miles a day. I'd come home from school. Mom would say, be back at dinner. There was no cell phones.
Right.
I'd ride 8 miles. I'd be up at the mall on the other side of town with Randy on my bicycle. And some church member would walk by. Does your mother and dad know you're up here? Yes, ma'am, they do. I'm going home and I'm calling your mom and telling her I saw you at the mall. And, you know, and people would report on you. Everybody policed you, the whole neighborhood. People said, you let Dave ride his bike around? My mom would say, ain't nobody going to take him. If they do, they'll bring him back.
Sure. Quickly.
I had to find Jesus and get some love. I mean, you know, they just put me out there like that. Do you know Mr. Harris, every week, he did this on purpose. He had all day to mow his grass.
Oh, yes.
But we could see his yard, and he would be in the back, and he'd be working, looking over there, and working, raking some leaves, looking over there. When he saw my dad get up behind the podium, he'd fire the mower up, you know, and start mowing. And Dad sent me down there one time. Said, would you ask Mr. Harris to just wait about 20 minutes before he mows his yard? He did it every week. I went down there and said, Mr. Harris, my dad wants to know if you'd stop mowing your yard for about 20 minutes. He said, I'll mow my yard when I want to mow my yard. And he said, you tell your dad what I do in my yard is my business. And what he does in his yard is his business and to mind his business.
Oh, great.
So I told him. I went back, told Dad. Dad started speaking. We waited for the mower to crank. Nothing. Complete silence. The next week, we got up to speak. My dad, complete silence. Toward the end of that second week, Mr. Harris walked down to our yard. And he said, I don't know what y'all do over here on Monday night. He said, but when you sent David down to ask me to stop mowing my yard, I was mad. He said, I was determined I was going to mow my grass every Monday night. He said, do you know I ain't been able to crank that cotton picking mower since that night? He said, I've rebuilt the engine. I've gone through it. He said, there's no reason that mower shouldn't crank. And I pull and pull and pull. And it will not start. So you tell your father, I will no longer be mowing my yard on Monday nights. I have moved to Tuesday nights, and I would kindly appreciate it if he doesn't move to Tuesday night. I said, okay, I'll tell him. Later in life, Mr. Harris accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now when he sees me, he has a smile on his face, a new song in his heart. We laugh about that story. And he loves Jesus through and through. You know, God found you in the nick of time. He gave you a new song. He has a love for you. Listen, just in case you forgot about it, he's not lost that love for you. Let me jump over to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. You ought to write this one down. Isaiah 53, verse 5. You've heard this one. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Picture him up against a wall. Think of all the sins you've committed in your life. And he's taken a beating for you. For every sin you committed. He was wounded. Transgressions. Sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And watch this. And with his, not anything else in this world, but with his stripes, last three words, we are healed. We were sick with the sins of this world, headed for damnation and hell. That's why when you got saved, you got goosebumps on the back of your head and your neck because you realized you just moved your vacation home from hell to heaven, your permanent vacation home. And one day when you step over there on the other side, you're going to be greeted. And hopefully you'll hear those famous words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes. Hopefully God. Because of the song in your heart, because of the love in your heart, because you hadn't forgot what he did, because he was bruised for our transgressions. He put a new song in our heart. Lastly, everybody's favorite words when a preacher says that. Jim's like, I know better. Yeah, I do. The third verse of the song says this. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. Yes. Let's go back. The first point, I have a song that Jesus gave me. That's when you got saved. Second verse, I love the Christ who died for me. Don't ever lose the love of what Jesus Christ did for you. And lastly, 'twill be my theme, my endless theme in glory. Listen to this. Our theme used to be Christ when we were first saved. We had no problem identifying that love for him. We were outspoken. We were excited. We had goosebumps. We told everybody. We ran around and told everybody we knew. We were excited about it. We used to attend Bible studies. We used to attend church more faithfully. We used to be more involved. We used to volunteer for VBS. We used to do more and more and more. And now we do less and less and less. Let me tell you, the lesser we do today, the fewer there's going to be in church in 10 years. The lesser you do today in your Christian life, the church will end on the course it is going right now. I believe I will see it end in my lifetime in America. I never thought I would say that, Pastor Jim. But the way the church is heading and what COVID fast-forwarded it 20 years in advance and separated the wheats from the tares, I believe we're headed to where we're going to see the end of the church. And let me tell you something. I heard 2 weeks ago, Brother Dave will talk on this in August. I heard this 2 weeks ago, that Christianity is going to be attacked like never before in this next presidential election. Like never before. The focus is going to be on the church this time. And they're going to go after the churches this time. The guy I heard say that 2 weeks ago, I thought, I wonder where he's getting his information from. I turned on Fox News 2 days after that, and schools in Utah are removing the King James Version Bible from the library because they said it is evil and it teaches wrong. You better wake up. It's coming here. And let me tell you why it's coming. Because people have forgotten the song in their heart. Because people have forgotten to feel and share the love of what Jesus did for them. It's supposed to be your theme until glory. But what is your theme? If I stood you up here and asked everybody in this church to tell us what you really are all about, what would they say about you? Would they be able to say you're a servant of God, you're here every time the doors open, you volunteer for everything? Would they be able to speak good, myself included? Hey, I'm no better than you. I'd be up there. What would be said about me? What would be said about you? Could they say what your theme is? Or is your theme all about your job? Is your theme all about your grandchildren? Is your theme all about your 401k? Is your theme all about your business? Is your theme all about your BFF? Is your theme about your boat and your vacation home? And on down the list we could go. Because the devil's going to do everything he can to distract us, to make us forget that we did have a song in our heart and that we do possess a love that is never changing and never ending from a creator that will be there today, tomorrow, and forever. He wants us to forget all of that. Why? Because he doesn't want our theme to last while we live on this earth. Because the more our theme lasts, the more people are going to heaven and the less people that are going to hell. He's going to do everything he can to snuff out the church in this next election, and I'm telling you, you better wake up.
Yes, we better.
You better wake up. I better be careful. I'm going to sweat.
Go for it.
'Twill be my endless theme in glory. Let me ask you this. What did you put in replacement of that song that you used to have in your heart?
Wow.
Something's there. What did you put in replacement of that love that you used to have for Jesus? What theme are you currently building upon that you decided one day, this stuff for God isn't getting me anywhere. I'm going to start a new theme for self. What theme are you building upon? He can see everything. Everything. I can come in here and dress up and look better than Jim Daniels. Can I get an amen?
No.
Last time I'm going to be here. Sorry. I can come in here and put a necktie on and look the part. I can even preach. But Jesus said in the last days, there will be false doctrine and false preachers. There will be people who are drawn to the tingling of their ears. What does that mean? What sounds good to them? What makes them feel good? Oh, we all want to go to church and feel good today. I hope they don't make me feel bad. I just want to hear about the love of God. I don't know who talks like that. I've tried to find that person everywhere I've gone. But it is someone out there, but not at this church.
Sure.
At another church, Brother Jim. And they're looking for something when they already had the answer. If they're saved, yeah, they got a song in their heart, got all the love they need. They're building upon that theme. Guess what? Our theme is not going to be built here 100% on this earth. The greatest part of our theme is over there. So if you're waiting for the theme part to reveal itself here, woo! All right, it's already here and it's done in God. If it ain't done nothing for you, then you're all building on the wrong theme. Find the right theme, because I lay not up for myself here treasures on this earth, but over there. That's where we're supposed to do it. And in between, we're supposed to have a song in our heart. Do you remember when you were a kid and you walking around and everybody would be whistling songs? Do you ever hear anybody whistling anymore? Kids don't even know how to whistle. I grew up, every old person I was around whistled. They whistled all the time. And you know what they were whistling? A song in their heart. They had a song in their heart. They were whistling. Do you know these songs that we sing, the old traditional songs? When you go into a foreign country, if you start humming it, foreign Christians, they begin to sing it in their language. All you got to do is hum or whistle the words. You can whistle, Jesus loves me, and they'll start singing it in their tongue. Because see, they have a song in their heart too. They may be on the other side of the planet. But when they got saved, God gave them a song.
Right.
And it just so happens their song is the same as our song.
Yes.
And we've just forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten about it. Listen to this verse in John 8, 12. Last verse I want to read to you, John 8, 12. Somebody moved it in my Bible. Let me get there. Hang on a second. Trish, I told you to mark it. John 8, 12. Listen. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, Oh, boy. I love this one. It's in red, meaning he said it. Hold on. You got a hold of your seat? Reach down, grab the seat. Make sure it don't come out from under you on this one, all right? Because this is important. All right, listen. You're looking at me like he's crazy. No, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Listen what he says. I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Hey, if I didn't read the rest of the verse, that right there ought to tell you enough. I am the light of the world. Trish and I and the boys flew out here to help Larry and them in October do some work at the camp. And I didn't get to do this then, but I did it this trip. We were driving out there near the camp over in West Texas. We were out near Rogers Hill Road. I turned the car lights off, the headlights at night out there, Brother Jim. I couldn't see my hand in the car. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. It was that dark. No, we were driving. Sorry, Miss Lori. I'm glad you got good insurance. We were driving. I turned it off for a second, and I said, look at that. And I flicked it back on. There was nothing to look at. When I turned that off, there wasn't a house light, a porch light. There was nothing as far as we could see. Complete darkness. Can you imagine what your life would be without Jesus Christ? It would be as if somebody come in and turned the light off in your heart. Complete darkness. You know how many of your relatives, co-workers, neighbors are walking around every day in complete darkness?
Yes, they are.
You want to know why so many people are killing people and robbing people and raping? Because they don't have a song in their heart.
No, they don't.
They don't know about the love. So imagine if you didn't know what you knew right now about what Jesus did for you. Imagine being out there in that world and living with that everyday constant feeling that this is all it is. If this is all it is, that's why many of them end their life. That's why many of them take a life, young and old. That's why many of them commit a crime, because they think that's all there is. No hope, no light, 100% darkness. And when it's dark like that, evil is always present. My mom used to say, son, why do you need to be out at 2 a.m.? Nothing good happens after dark. She used to say that all the time. You remember that growing up? How many of you heard? Nothing good happens after dark. He says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's go back. I have a song that Jesus gave me. You have the light of life in you. I love the Christ who died on Calvary. Do you love the Christ who died on Calvary? Have you replaced that love with an earthly love? If you have, I don't even have to know your problems that you deal with, but I guarantee I just touched on a little bit of it right there. If you've replaced His love with something from this world, you're not going to find peace. And if you've done that, then this last verse, 'twill be my endless theme and glory. Your theme's all messed up. And everybody knows it. I jokingly say about family reunions, but when I was a kid, my parents did drive me to family reunions, and they would say, now when you get to grandma's house, don't talk to Uncle So-and-so. He's an angry man. Listen to what they're telling me. They're describing his theme in life. He's an angry man. He doesn't want to talk about God. Don't crawl up in his lap. Don't say anything to him. Just stay away from him. Avoid your cousin so-and-so. And so goes the story. You see what I'm saying? We know that people have themes. You go to work, there's people you avoid on the job tomorrow because you know their theme. You know what they're about. But can I tell you something? Maybe the reason they are the way they are is they're walking around in darkness because someone forgot to whistle the new song that was in their heart that's been there since they were 7 or 18 or 22. Maybe someone forgot to show them the love that Jesus gave them. Maybe our theme hasn't been consistent so that someone else living a bad theme could replace their theme with a new song and a love that dwells in our heart. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Listen to the chorus. In my heart, there rings a melody.
Yes.
There rings a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. How's your heart this morning?
Yes.
You remember when you got saved?
Sure.
If you sit there and do nothing, the darkness out there is going to take over to the point that this right here will no longer exist.
Right.
You better wake up. You better go back to that time when he saved you, gave you a new song.
Yeah.
I challenge you this morning. Go back and find that song. Remember and refresh your heart. On a computer, there's a reason why there's a refresh button. On your cell phone, there's a reason why you drag it down and let that little thing go. It's to refresh. When was the last time you refreshed your heart? And got it back where it should be? Will you bow your head with me, please? You listen well. God bless you. I love you. I care about you. I have prayed for this service today. I have pastors back home in North Carolina that have prayed for this church. That have prayed last night and this morning for this service right here. You don't have to know them, but they are praying that God will do something great in your life, no matter what age you are. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you remember a time when you recognized that there was nothing you could do to earn your position or placement in heaven, and except by confessing your sin. As Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's not it, sorry. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said all we had to do was confess and believe. If you've done that in your lifetime, then God gave you a new song. Then you've been dwelling with His love, unconditional, never-ending love. And you have a new theme in glory. But I just know the church because I live in one as well back home. And our people are just the same as your people. And we're all the same. Cut from the same dirt and clay from this ground. Some of us have forgotten about that song. Some of us have forgotten about that unconditional love. And we've let the things of this world harden our heart. And we've let the things of this world affect us. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Brother Jim's going to give you a moment in just a second. If you'll stand right there in your seat. Just stand up if you're able to stand. We're going to have a song. We're going to play some music here and the altar's open. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jim. If you need to come and say, God, I'm sorry I quit humming that theme. Lord, I'm sorry that I forgot about your love. Why don't you grab your husband, your wife, your kids this morning? Why don't you come down? Why don't you come down by yourself and just say, God, from this day forward, I'm going to keep working on that new theme. And I'm going to rebuild it. So when I see your face in heaven, you'll say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant.